After understanding the steps that are involved in the customer decision-making process, let us now understand the psychological influences that a customer has on the buying behavior. Under this, we will try and understand parameters like motivation, personality, perception, learning, values, attitudes, lifestyle, which how do they impact the entire consumer buying process, and how can we create marketing strategies to address some of these influences, if not all of them. Now let us try and look at motivation and personality. What is motivation and what is personality and how we can understand that? Now motivation is nothing but the force that creates the purchase for satisfying a need or a want. Customer needs are typical hierarchical in their requirements. If you look at the hierarchy of needs, the first level of needs that the customer has are what are called physiological needs. Now the physiological needs are nothing but the requirements that the customer has for survival. These are basic to the survival of the customer. Once the survival needs are met, then the customer has the second level of needs, which are called the safety needs. The safety needs are for the physical well-being of the customer and the self-preservation of the customer. The moment and the need for financial security and the need to save money all come from the safety needs of the customer. Once these needs are satisfied, the social needs of the customer are important. And these are needs like love, friendship, achievement, status orientation, prestige, sense of identity, sense of belonging, and self-respect. And finally, when all these three needs are met, we have the personal or the self-actualization needs of the customer, where the customer tries to seek personal fulfillment. He tries to find the higher objective or higher reason for or the purpose of living and tries to satisfy those needs. So motivation of the person comes from at which stage of need he is in. If a person is at the physiological level of need, he's just trying to survive, there is no point in trying to use a marketing strategy which addresses his social needs. There is no point, for example, trying to market cars to him which are lifestyle cars, because his basic physiological needs are not yet met. So the type of need that the customer may have is an important parameter, is an important driving factor in marketing strategy. The second element of this psychological needs is the personality. Personality is nothing but the set of actions or the consistent behavior which a person exhibits to recurring and similar situations in life. Research or marketing research has suggested that key traits that affect brand and product choices are coming in from the personality. Cross-cultural analysis also suggests that residents of a different country have a national character or a distinct set of personality characteristics common amongst the people of a country or a society or a community or a typical linguistic set, and so on and so forth. Personality characteristics are typically revealed in a person's self-concept, which is the way people see themselves and the way they believe others see them. So the self-concept, who am I as a person and what do I represent, both to myself and to the world outside, creates personality and impacts purchase choices and decisions. So for example, a person who internally thinks is a leader will buy products and brands that are reflective of a leader. A person whose inner concept, self-concept is that of a needy person will buy products and services in accordance to that. So the next parameter of the psychological influence is perception. And perception is nothing but the process by which an individual uses information to create a meaningful picture about himself, about the situations he or she faces in his or her life, of people and other factors. You create this meaningful picture by selecting, organizing and interpreting the information that is coming to you in a certain manner, which is influenced by your culture, your subculture and other personality traits. Perception is very important because people selectively perceive what they want and how it affects them and the risks in a purchase situation. To give you an example, if a person perceives himself to be overweight and he is interested in reducing his weight, he tends to see more advertisements and promotion offers related to weight loss than any other person within the society. So that's how typically perception affects the behavior of the person. Now there are levels of perception, starting from selective perception to selective exposure to selective comprehension to selective retention and what we call subliminal perception. Now, what is selective perception? It is the process of filtering the information that the customer is getting by putting in certain preconceived filters, due to which the exposure, comprehension, and the retention in the human brain of that information is changed. Selective exposure. Consumers typically pay attention to messages that are consistent with their attitudes and beliefs and their current pressing needs. Consumers can typically ignore messages that are inconsistent with their values and beliefs. So the next parameter is selective comprehension. It involves the interpretation of information or distortion of information so that it is consistent with the person's beliefs and attitudes. To give you an example on this, if you buy a Mercedes car and the engine makes a little noise, a typical person will take that to mean that the engine is powerful. This is because he does not expect a Mercedes engine to have a problem, and therefore he distorts it to make that interpretation consistent with his belief system. Selective retention, which is the next thing. Consumers do not remember all the information they see, read, or hear. They will typically hear or see messages. They will typically remember all those information that is again in line with their attitude and beliefs and their current pressing need. And finally, subliminal perception. Consumers hear messages without being aware of them. This is a hotly debated issue with more popular appeal than scientific support. Research suggests that such messages have limited effect on behavior, not complete effect on behavior, but limited effect on behavior. So perceive risk. Any customer wanting to purchase a product or a service has a risk or a stress associated with that purchase. At the point of purchase, the customer is not in a position to enumerate or understand the complete outcome of the purchase, or the customer may believe that there could be negative consequences related to a purchase, or the customer may believe that what will happen if he buys the product and the product does not perform to its expected outcome or the specification, and therefore that anxiety that a typical customer feels at the time of the purchase is referred to in marketing as cognitive dissonance. Marketers therefore have to work out or create ways and means by which they can reduce the customer's perceived risk and the stress associated with the purchase by encouraging them to try the product, or by strategies such as free trial of the product, securing endorsements from important people or influential people in the society, or providing warranty and guarantee, saying that, look, Mr. Customer, if the product doesn't perform after you bought it, we will give you a free replacement or we will repair it. And that to some extent addresses the anxiety or the risk that the customer has related to a purchase decision. The third thing that we want to understand is learning. The behavior, the customer behavior that results from repeated experience, thinking, and learning certain things as they move up in life. Now, behavioral learning is the process of developing an automatic response to a situation built up through repeated exposure to it. Four variables on how customers learn from a related or repeated experience are a drive, a need that moves an individual to action. So something that you can create that can move the customer to action. Cue is nothing but a stimulus or a symbol perceived by customers to take action. So for example, when you're driving a car and the signal turns red, the cue is that red color signal is to stop the car. The moment the signal turns green, it is a cue for you to move. So a cue is a symbol that is learned by the customers over a period of time, depicting stop or start, depending on whether the color is red or green. Response is the action taken by a customer or a consumer to satisfy the drive and the reinforcement, which typically comes from the reward. To give you an example, a company announces a promotion which says that if you buy 2 shirts, you get 1 shirt free. Then it says that if you buy 4 shirts, you get 3 shirts free. That is a drive which moves an individual to action. The sign of the sale is a stimulus that is perceived by the action. The response is the customer goes and buys the shirts, and reinforcement comes when they get the free shirts. So this is how behavioral learning typically happens, and this is how marketers use behavioral learning to impact or trigger sales. So marketers use 2 concepts from behavioral learning theory. One is stimulus generalization and the other is stimulus discrimination. Now stimulus generalization is nothing but a response which occurs by one stimulus is generalized to another. So typically is stimulus generalization occurs when a response is by one stimulus is generalized to another stimulus. So the example is using the same brand name for different products is an application of this concept. So for example, if you buy a product and you feel it is good, then all other products made or sold under that brand are also good is the application of this concept. The stimulus discrimination refers to the person's ability to perceive a difference in the stimuli. So for example, if 2 companies are advertising for the same product. So for example, 2 companies selling jeans are advertising for jeans in the same market. What is the customer's ability to perceive the difference in the 2 products and the 2 advertisements? So this is an example of stimulus discrimination. So apart from behavioral learning, we have what is called cognitive learning. Cognitive learning means or involves making connections between 2, 3, 4 and other ideas. So you learn one idea, you learn another idea, and you try and connect the two to see how they can operate together. Simply by observing the outcome of other people's behaviors, one can learn cognitively for different products and services. And finally, we have what is called brand loyalty, which is a concept, a favorable attitude, which results in consistent and repeat purchase of a single brand over long periods of time. Brand loyalty may differ across countries, may differ across personalities, may differ across different societies, but it increases what we call customer lifetime value and wallet share. We will now understand the next subtopic in consumer buying behavior, which is on values, beliefs, and attitudes. Now, what is an attitude? It is a learned predisposition to respond to a situation or to a person or to an organization in a consistently favorable or unfavorable way. Attitudes are shaped by values and beliefs which are themselves learned from the society. A typical attitude of a person could be towards corruption. There are a set of people who will behave consistently towards corruption by not encouraging it. And there are certain people who will behave consistently towards corruption by encouraging it. So that is an attitude that the person has formed towards a situation like corruption. Then values are personally or socially preferred modes of conduct or states of existence that are typically enduring. So, for example, within the Indian context, it is the value system of the Indian mindset is to respect the parents, respect elders. So respect is a value that is permeating the Indian society. Any other society may not have a similar value. Beliefs are nothing but customers' subjective perception of how well a product or a brand performs on different attributes. So the belief that working in night shifts is bad for your health prevents many people from taking or working in night shifts. So it affects product or brand choices, it affects your decisions in manners which the marketer can now use to understand and formulate a strategy to handle this. Related to attitude is change of attitude. How can we use this understanding of what attitude the customer has in order to change the customer's attitude? Now, changing the beliefs about the extent to which a brand has certain attributes, or changing the perceived importance of attributes, or adding new attributes to the product is defined as changing the attitude of the customer. So a very typical example is again the AIDS campaign. People felt that when you talk to a person or you touch a person having AIDS, you will get AIDS in the process. So there was a campaign run to change the belief about AIDS that talking or socially interacting with people with AIDS does not transmit AIDS. Changing the perceived importance of certain attributes. For example, for smoking, it has been now, there's a campaign running to make people aware that smoking or eating gutkha can cause cancer. So you're changing the perceived importance of the attribute of that product. You can also add new attributes to a product. Currently, a lot of research is going on which says that, you know, eating vitamin C on a daily basis increases your life. So this is an attribute that you're adding to a product like vitamin C. Another factor which comes under this is lifestyle. Lifestyle is a method of living which is identified by activities, how the person spends time and resources, interests, what are the interests the person has and what is important to him and the environment, and opinions, and what does that person think about himself and the world at large. Lifestyle analysis is done by a dimension or an area of consumer behavior called psychographics. Psychographics actually tries to understand what is a customer's lifestyle, how does he use his lifestyle to spend time, what does he spend time and money on, what is important to him, and helps us to target or segment and target customers for new and existing products on the parameters of lifestyle. Finally, we come back to how do we buy. And this is an exercise that you can do for yourself. You can list the factors you would consider, for example, for buying a two-wheeler. Can you classify all the factors that you are going to use in the purchase of the scooter into how, whether they are lifestyle factors, whether they are psychographic factors, whether they are emotional factors, whether they are social factors? Whom would you consult? Why would you consult? If you do this as an exercise, you will try to understand consumer buying behavior from an application perspective. Now let us look at the socio-cultural influences on consumer behavior. Now, socio-cultural influences come from the formal and informal relationship which customers have with people. All of us, a man is a social animal, and he has relationships with people around him. He has a relationship with his family, he has a relationship with his friends, he has a relationship with his colleagues. So there are different groups in which a typical human being works and operates within. And all these groups of people have relationship with the customer, and they impact buying behavior of the customer to either a small or a large effect. Now, influences have this thing. There is a personal influence, there's a reference group influence, the family has an influence, the social class, the culture and the subculture of the person has a total influence on the purchase choices and the brand choices that the customer exhibits in the market. So what is personal influence? Personal influence is the ability of the person to put direct or indirect influence on others. The first parameter of this is opinion leaders. Opinion leaders are people who can exert a large amount of direct or indirect social influence over others, thereby influencing product choices and brand choices. Example, there are Sadhu Vaswani has espoused the cause of vegetarianism, and he has made many people vegetarian, or many people who have come in contact with him vegetarian. So he is a person who is exerting a large influence on people over the choice, the food choices that they make on a day-to-day basis. There's another body of people who influence people's eating habit by influencing them to eat organic food only. So this is another opinion leader. Similarly, related to opinion leader is what we call word of mouth influence. People influencing each other in a face-to-face conversation. So in a typical situation, a friend asks me what to buy and I influence him to buy a certain product or a brand. That is called word of mouth. The power of the word of mouth has now been increased or multiplied several times because of the internet, email and social marketing tools like Facebook and Orkut and LinkedIn. So that's personal influence. B is reference groups. Reference groups are people to whom an individual looks for as a basis of self-appraisal. It is a source of personal standards. Reference groups have a very important influence on the purchase of luxury products, but not for necessities. So reference groups are very important for luxury goods, but not for necessities. So for example, if you are part of the millionaire group, and all millionaires are driving Jaguar cars, it forces you to buy a Jaguar car. So this is what the typical influence of a reference group. There are three types of reference groups which a person typically works with. One is called the membership group. This is a group to which the person actually belongs to. There is an aspiration group, a group which the person aspires to be with or prefers to be with. So for example, if you are coming from a lower socio-economic background, you want to get into a richer background or a higher income group background, that becomes an aspirational group. The third reference group is a dissociative group, one from which the person wants to maintain a distance because of differences in values or behavior. So for example, you do not wish to or look forward to be a part of, say, a terrorist group, because that is a reference group you do not wish to be a part of. So these are the three typical kinds of reference groups a person has in his environment. The third group or the socio-cultural influence comes from the family. The family influences the customer's behavior in many different parameters. It influences the level of socialization that the customer has. It influences the passage of the family over a life cycle, and therefore the decision making, the products and choices that the family makes over a period of time is also influenced by this. There are two types of families which a person belongs to. One is the family of siblings, that is the parents, brothers and sisters. The second is called the family of procreation, which is the family which consists of self, spouse and the children. And these two groups within the overall family also impact buying behavior and product and brand choices in a very large way. So the family and the household. A family is a group of people who live together. A household is a consumption unit of one or more persons identified by a common location with an address. The household decision-making process is a combined decision-making process where individuals living in that household jointly with the other members of the household make product and brand choices which are for the joint use of the household. So that's typically what we call a household decision-making process. And finally, how does this happen? This happens by initiating the purchase, this process or the decision, gathering and sharing of the relative information, evaluating and jointly deciding the product or the choice through a consensus, shopping and buying, and what is called managing conflicting opinions within the family decision process. A typical family decision or a household decision-making process does have conflicts. Various people within the family may have differing requirements, different needs, different understanding of the needs, different beliefs, different perceptions, different attitudes, and therefore they may have different choice, brand choices and product choices. Different people in the family may also play different roles depending on whether they are the user, payer or the buyer, and therefore their priorities related to the purchase decision may vary, thereby resulting in conflict. Conflict also comes in when a single role is played by multiple family members and their goals are different. So you do have conflict in family decisions, which you resolve mutually and then come to a conclusion for a purchase decision. And finally, you have children's influence in the family decision-making process. Children influence household purchases in three distinct ways. They first influence by having individualistic preferences for products which are paid and bought by the parents. Children who are in their teenage years, who begin to have their own money and who have pocket money, or they may be earning small sums of money through some economic activity, they become payers and buyers of items for self-use, so they make a different set of product choices. And finally, when older members of the family are trying to buy high technology products, children will influence the parents' choice of what high technology products to use. So for example, in many families, the mobile phone used by the father or mother is actually influenced by the children they have. So this is the three different roles children typically play in a household purchase. So you will now look at the role of culture and subculture in the purchase process. Now, culture is nothing but a set of values, ideas, and attitudes that are accepted by homogeneous groups of people and are transmitted from one generation to the next generation. The subculture is groups within the larger groups or national culture with unique values, ideas, and attitudes. In the Indian context, there are many cultures which exist. So, for example, Brahmins have their own culture. Non-Brahmins have another culture. We also have a lot of different cultures based on the linguistic differentiation that you see in India. So Hindi-speaking people have one set of culture, South Indians have a different set of culture. Even within the South Indians, whether you're from Andhra Pradesh or Karnataka or Kerala or Tamil Nadu, you may have different cultures. Metropolitan cities show different cultures. In Bombay, for example, people living on the western line and people living on the central line show different subcultures within the overall culture of Mumbai. So culture and subculture also become an important criteria which impact purchase choices and brand choices. People living in cities and people living in villages, urban areas have a different culture, rural areas have their own culture. And when people from rural areas migrate to urban areas, they try to adopt the culture and subculture of the urban area. So each of these groups, each of these cultures, each of these subcultures exhibits a very strong, sophisticated, very powerful and very enduring effect on buying patterns, product choices, and brand choices. And hence, from a marketing point of view, it makes it very important to understand that. Finally, coming to the summary, Maslow was the person who put in the hierarchy of needs and classified them in order of importance into five categories, right from physiological needs to self-actualization needs. Learning is the process that creates changes in behavior, immediate or expected, either through experience or practice. Beliefs help form the basis for attitudes, as do values. This ends our session on the consumer buying behavior. Thank you so much.